and what direction he's puts in our hearts and gives us a vision for, we are called to wait. And it's a very difficult thing to wait. Nobody likes to wait. We're in the fast food generation. And there's a lot of problems that can come up during the waiting period. You know, we get anxious. I think fear creeps in. I have a tendency to want to fix things. If you've got anything broken, give me a call. But it's difficult for us to wait. And there's an example from Paul. If you open your book to the book of Ephesians, open your Bible to the book of Ephesians. In the book of Acts, I'll have you open to Ephesians and tell you about Acts. In the book of Acts, Paul was headed for Taurus. He was following God on his second mission trip. And he came to Taurus, and he had come from the east. He couldn't go north, and he couldn't go south. The only direction he'd go was west, but he hadn't heard from God. So he waited, and he just stayed there until he got a vision from God on what he was supposed to do. And what we typically would do, if I was there, I would start making a pontoon boat or something so we could head west or get ahead of him, and that's what we typically would do. But Paul waited until he heard from God, then he got a clear vision from God, then he moved. And that's what we really need to do until we have it on our hearts, which direction God wants us to go in. Paul, when he wrote the book of Philippians, he was in prison, and he was under great peril. He was suffering. They didn't have any rules back then. When people went to prison, they would torture them and cause as much pain they felt like their punishment was due. He was under fear of dying through the circumstances in the prison. He was under fear of dying from the Romans because of the charges that were set towards him. He was also, in each one of these circumstances, he was called just to wait. He couldn't leave. He was in prison. He had Jews that wanted to assassinate him. He even had people that were within the body that were undermining and talking bad about him behind his back and trying to create dissension. And in the midst of all of that, Paul waited. Then he received a gift from the Ephesians. And the Ephesians, they were the first church that Paul had ever planted. So they were very close to him. They meant something to him. And they were not a rich church, but they scraped amongst what they had, and they sent that to him because he was in great peril and suffering every day. And so I'm just going to read the book of Ephesians with those things in mind, the situation that Paul was in. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy and every prayer for you all in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good works in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel about you all, because you have been in my heart since both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. You all are partaking the grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affliction of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that you love and abound still more, all the more real knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order and be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of the righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now I, want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater process or progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment is the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorium Guard and the everywhere else. And the most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and in the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectations and hope. That I will not put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whereas by life or by death. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live, not in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet, to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you in all of the progress and the joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Jesus Christ through my coming to you again. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit and one mind, striving together in the faith of the gospel. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that you too from God. For to you, it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, and now hear it to be in me. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, any affliction of affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out to your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at this name, Jesus, every knee will bow, for those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in the presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights to the world. Hold fast to the word of life, so that you will, in the day of Christ, I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and the service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. But I hope in the Lord Jesus, you send Timothy, to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. I have no one else of kindred spirit who is genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they are all seek after their own interest, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served me within the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things work with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly. But I thought it necessary to send you to Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who was also your messenger and minister to my needs, because he was longing for you and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrows upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete that was deficient in your service to me. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again in no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision, for we are all the true circumcision, whose worship is in the Spirit of God and the glory of Jesus Christ, and put no confidence in the flesh, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised on the eighth day and in the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, I was a persecutor of the church, as to the righteous, which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gain to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered and lost all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, and the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him, and that the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained it, for I have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize and the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything, you have different attitude. If anything, have a different attitude. God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard by which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, and the way in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved, I urge Euodia and I urge Syrtyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companions, I ask you also to help these women to have shared, who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement, also in the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is anything excellent, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, now that at last you have received your concern. I have received your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In anything and everything, every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in your affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, your church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone, for even the Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Now that I seek the gifts itself, but I seek, not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which has increased your account. But I have received everything in full, and I have abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus that you have sent a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you in spirit. Where we're at in this day, as we're waiting for God, we need to set aside all of our ministries. We need to set our heart aside. We need to allow God to be in charge of things. R.C. Sproul, Kathy gave this to me this morning. He says, every attempt of man to build his own ultimate city, the kingdom will end in chaos. Any success we enjoy will be short-lived, for the Lord brings into judgment every hidden thing, every secret thought, that's Ecclesiastes 12:14. Nothing built for the glory of man will survive his scrutiny, but what is done is for God's glory and will endure forever. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word because it's alive. Your word gives us vision for our path, hope for our future, strength in our time of need. Your word gives us greater understanding of our purpose in this life as children of God. Your word gives us insight for us personally, and it gives us insight as a body. Father, we just pray that you would bless the reading of your word to our souls and just give us hope for tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.